This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. So much happening with the Cowboys throughout the day. CeeDee Lamb contract, but there's even more news. And for more on that, here's Eric Chiafalo.
Thank you very much. We'll get to around the bases as quickly as possible here. But, yeah, seeing from Tom Pelissero in the last few minutes, Cowboys might not be done. Sources say Dalvin Cook is flying to Dallas tonight for a visit. Now, Pelissero says, unlike a year ago when Dalvin Cook was rehabbing from shoulder surgery, Cook has hit the weights all offseason and says he feels, get this, the best he has in years. So not the best shape of his life, but the best he's felt in years. And I see a workout video of him here, and he looks pretty good. Looks pretty lean, looks pretty jacked, getting it done with the mobility stuff, doing some core work there. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Another kind of older, not much tread left on the tires kind of running back here. I thought they wanted juice. I thought they wanted young, fresh legs.
Man, he was having a great career up until last year, where with the Jets, his yards per attempt just collapsed. So I would think that at 29 years old, what you saw is him hit a cliff. I think it's a good idea, though, to bring somebody in. If you're the Cowboys and you're thinking, well, you know, maybe a workout would convince us that he's got something, because I don't think it would be hard to help this running back room. So overall, I like that they're kicking the tires. I would like a more substance than, you know, maybe some hype here with a former big name. But at 29 years old, I assume he's Dunsky.
Yeah, I think this doesn't bode well for Malik Davis then. We were talking about that the running backs and that they potentially could have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like to me they're probably going to go with Elliott, Dowdle, and Vaughn, I would have to guess. I don't believe if they were to sign Cook, I kind of think, okay, well, there's no special teams value with any of those guys. So how important special teams is for that running back spot, I think they're just kind of that's out the window. They're just going to – maybe they're going to carry other guys. They're going to use these – maybe we'll see another tight end. Maybe we'll see another safety. Maybe we'll see another linebacker.
They're going to put four guys on the team that can not only not play running back but not special teams either?
That's kind of where I think about it right now. I don't think Cook would play special teams for you.
No.
Elliott's not playing it. Rico Dowdle, if he's the second back, I don't – now
– why couldn't Zeke be the personal protector? I'm kind of being serious here. Why can't he be the personal protector on the punt team? If Malik Davis can do it, we talk about Zeke being a blocker. I know he's probably not going to run down there and make a tackle for you necessarily, but what are we doing?
Yeah, he'll step up. You got to count all that stuff off and be ready to go. And you know, it's a possibility. But me personally, I wish I could see this Cook. The Cook visit. It's not a signing. I think they're taking a look and seeing where he's at physically. That's for sure. I think maybe we're putting too much into this. My hope is they're looking at some of these other teams that have younger guys that they're like, okay, is this guy better than our third guy? Is this guy better than Vaughn? Is this guy better than, you know, Dowdle? I mean, that's how I think they need to look at this. I just, I would like to believe that there's somebody out there that they could probably trade for. Or I don't think they want to battle anybody for a running back. Maybe they're confident that nobody will claim a running back if somebody puts somebody out there. But if I saw somebody I like with the Jets, I mentioned Anamanakanda, that guy. I mentioned about him just because he's a young guy. He's toughness. He's got some juice to him, the way he plays. You know, the Jets just don't have a spot for him. So I would hope that they would be looking, you know, that they're kicking the tires on Cook and others that can better fit the bill for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you'd see maybe a nice addition from a young back that doesn't make a team or whatever, but I certainly understand bringing in Dalvin Cook and seeing what he's got here. I mean,
I appreciate they're not going to stand pat on the position
for
by
sure.
Bringing in Cook. Yeah. They're not done with this. So that part of it is encouraging that they're still looking for upgrades at that spot. I just kind of felt like, okay, they're not going to do anything else. They're just going to go with the guys they have. But that hasn't been the case. They addressed their defensive line. They addressed their edge. They addressed their corner with the Booth trade. They're trying to do things, I think, in a matter of, you know, their roster is not good enough. And at certain positions, if they're going to try and add more players to it, good for them.
Yeah, I appreciate the diligence here and, you know, trying to find a guy that can help you. I especially appreciate Tom Pelissero caping for Cook here on X. Dalvin Cook has averaged 92 yards from scrimmage per game in his career, 107 if you take out last season when he never got a chance to establish a rhythm with the Jets. Yeah, I wouldn't give you much of a chance to establish Jack Squat if you're getting 3.2 yards an attempt. I don't know how you can look at that and be like, well, that's Dalvin Cook. He was a legend 12 years ago at Florida State. Yeah, so
it's super disingenuous to take his entire career body of work and apply it to what he might be for you right now.
Yeah.
He is not that same player, and it's evidence because he is still available on August 26th.
Look, defenses have gotten a lot faster. You know, everybody's playing nickel. Some play dime. The linebackers are leaner and faster. You can't get old at running back and still run away from these young guys like you used to when there were 30-year-old linebackers who ran 4.7s. It's just a totally different league, and by the time you're 27 or 28, you're looking suspect as a running back and looking old.
Man. All right, well, we'll see. I mean, the Texans is pretty excited about this. I mean, I've been wanting him for a while. 214, I'm going crazy. Another 214, he's the best available running back right now. Go get him. 817, please sign Cook. A no-brainer, get Cook. So, I mean, Dalvin Cook is definitely, and that's what Jerry likes to do as well, you know, get a name in there. That's what Zeke and Dalvin Cook are more name than substance, as you mentioned. But we'll continue to monitor. Maybe we get a Dalvin Cook signing here with the Cowboys over the next 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah, these veteran guys that you're adding that are named guys, the Carl Lawsons, the Linville Josephs, please don't think that they're going to be the same guy they were 3 or 4 years ago, you know? That there's some thing. I think there's some positive things about Carl Lawson. I think there's more positives about Carl Lawson playing run defense than actually as a pass rusher. Linville Joseph, he doesn't have range, but he's, you know, when you talk about him and Phillips, you watch what they did at Buffalo. Phillips could play the three. Osa could play the three. Linville Joseph, you know, he's probably an A, B gap type player, you know. So to me, you got to be careful with these names. You know, the guys in the past have done some really quality things. A lot of them aren't the same player, but they fill a role for what you're trying to do right now to get somebody ready, you know, when the wheels really fall off of these players and you can kind of move on and say, okay, we're going to play this young guy now because we've got that young guy ready to play. I think a lot of these guys right now, you hope that Carl Lawson plays well. You hope that Linville Joseph plays well. You would hope that Dalvin Cook would be that guy. But to think that they are the player they were 3-4 years ago could be a little bit of a mistake.
All right, let's go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats here on your home of the World Series champion Texas Rangers. Now, yesterday they're in Cleveland wrapping up the series, and they lose 13, or they end up losing 13-5 on Saturday, and the Guardians had been struggling offensively. Like that had been, they came into this one. Eric Nadel was like, hey, this is going to be a low scoring kind of series just with the way both offenses have been playing. We know about the Rangers, but the Guardians came in a bit of a slump there offensively as well. And before they put up 13 runs over the weekend, they decided to scrap their usual pregame plan when it comes to batting practice and whatnot. And they did more of like a home run derby kind of deal to loosen things up or whatever, and then boom, they explode for 13 runs. So that's that was a heck of a strategy there by the Guardians to get them. So I mean, everybody wants to know, what do you do to bust a slump? That was the Guardians' move. There's 13 runs. Maybe they're back. I don't know.
Probably should have done a home run derby back in May for these Rangers, is what you're saying.
That was kind of where I was getting to. Like, why couldn't we have pulled that out? You know, I'm surprised Bochy didn't have that in his, you know, the home run derby pregame in his back pocket.
Bobby had an interesting nugget this morning on their show. He said Corey Seager's the only Ranger to have a home run in the last week.
In the last week, yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
That's where we're at with this thing. Yeah. So now you just, you're like, hey, Bradford, okay, thank you for being a young guy doing a little bit of something over here. You have the hope of Leiter and Rocker. Of course, you have the DeGrom stuff. And then that's pretty much where you're at.
Yeah, I think right now if you're the Rangers, you understand that like it's still fairly new, this feeling of, oh my goodness, there's no way we're catching him now. I give him a couple of more series, and then I expect him to break out and dominate.
Well, Chris Young even talked about not meaningful baseball when we had him on earlier. That really surprised me. That was pretty honest about his team. Hey, we're not going to be having, you know, we're not going to be playing October baseball here.
It was one more step in the direction. You know, mid last week, you could be thinking, hey, if we go on a 20-game winning streak right now, we're in this thing.
Right.
Now it's like you can't lose any more games. Yeah. And, you know, that's impossible.
Right. Well, my goodness, Aaron Judge continues to tear up the league. At one point over the weekend, you had Soto, Judge, and Stanton all going back to back to back dongs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yankees hadn't done that as a team since 2020, which actually seems like Not that long ago. Like, my goodness. But that's...
At least you didn't say, like, Ruth, Bill Dickey, you know, Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, you don't have to go that far
back.
You didn't
have to go back that far, yeah.
Well, and you actually have right now, and you had two homers from Aaron Judge in one game as well over the weekend. That put him at 10 homers in the last 2 weeks, which over that two-week time is tied with the Angels and the Phillies for the most home runs in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Aaron Judge, 10 by himself, and then the Angels and the Phillies combined as teams have 10 home runs over the last 2 weeks. Juan Soto of the Yankees has 9 homers in the last 2 weeks, and that's as much as the Athletics have as a team, the Rays, and the Rockies. And then, of course, you have Shohei Ohtani, who is still an absolute super beast as well.
About to be a 50-50 guy, huh?
Yeah.
50 stolen bases, 50 home runs.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
first one ever to do that.
I mean, he had the walk-off grand slam over the weekend to become the first Dodger in franchise history to join the 40-40 club.
Yeah.
And so when you have the walk-off grand slam to put you in that club, that is just absolutely epic. You know who your MVPs are on either side of the MLB leagues. So, those guys continue to just carry this sport right now. And the numbers for Aaron Judge are just like absolutely ridiculous, dude. I mean, to have 50-plus homers before you've even gotten to September, he's on pace to tie his home run record that he's already got.
I thought he was up to over 63 potential. They said he's ahead of his pace.
Now he's pacing one more.
He's pacing
to break the record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think anybody will ever get close to 73, though?
Homers? I mean,
yeah, if Aaron Judge is flirting with it, now it could be a really long time, but if you have a guy like Aaron Judge that's capable of potentially hitting over 60 twice, I mean...
It was 23 years ago now. I feel like Barry Bonds was a different player, aided by what he was aided by.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
I mean, pitchers have gotten much nastier at missing bats collectively now.
Yeah. Yes, that's the other thing. That is totally fair. And working against everyone. But, I mean, he's coming for the triple crown right now.
Is he?
Aaron Judge is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's first in homers, first in ribbies, second in average with a 333.
And he's doing it like with his twice as big of a strike zone as most of the other players too.
Yeah.
Always been impressive to me. It's all
yeah. Let's see. We also have a Babe Ruth memorabilia sale.
Wow. Ooh, I saw that. Yeah.
You saw this?
Insane, dude.
1932 Babe Ruth called shot World Series jersey. Did you see this, Broadus?
I did not.
What do you think that went for? How many millions of dollars?
This was the Cubs, maybe, kind of a thing.
1932, you were there. I mean, why am I?
I was in the stands.
Why are you asking me?
Yeah, I was hawking peanuts that day. This is a jersey?
Yeah.
This was Yankees-Cubs.
Yankees-Cubs.
29th World Series. Babe Ruth calls his shot in his 10th and final World Series.
10th and final World Series. This jersey went for $3.2 million.
That wouldn't even be in the top five of highest selling sports memorabilia of all time at an auction, at least.
Okay.
And just so you know.
So this thing went for 10?
This thing is number one.
Okay. This thing went for over $20
million? $24.1 million.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth.
Who bought it? Do we know?
World Series jersey. I'm sure we could find that. I don't have it in front of me, but it was sold for that $24.1 million at an auction.
That's the highest ever?
That's the highest ever at an auction in terms of highest selling sports memorabilia of all time. This,
how much would
to the
you
boardroom.
Have to be worth to cut out $24 million for anything? You got to be worth multiple billions, right?
Yes. Yeah. Especially for something as innocuous as that.
I mean, you're the biggest Yankee fan ever. Like, how could it possibly have that level of value for
you? How about $500 million?
Like, that's your net worth?
Yeah, that's your net worth. $500 million, you're giving up 24 to
5%
get
of your...
Not doing that.
Wow.
I would need at least $1 billion to my name. Like, this feels like a Bezos move. You know, something like that. You have so much money, you don't even know. Like, $24 million, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Mm. I'd rather have this than another $20 million, because the millions mean nothing.
Right.
$24 million gets you a plane. Gets you a nice plane.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Get you a lot of nice.
Yeah, get you a nice plane.
Well, we have number two is 1952 Mickey Mantle Topps card, and that sold for $12.6 million.
Okay.
So Babe Ruth is, that jersey is almost twice the amount of second place in terms of highest selling sports memorabilia of all time. This was a crazy, ridiculous number.
There's paintings that go for more than that. That jersey.
All right. Yeah, I know. I know. It's just
paintings?
Incredible what some of the world's elite spend millions and millions of dollars on.
Yeah, they be washing money through that stuff, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Those paintings. Uh-huh. Yeah. You got to watch them. I probably shouldn't have snitched like that.
You didn't mention any names.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Little sports hodgepodge coming up. What Jerry Jones said about surrendering his title as GM as well. That's coming up next right here, the G-Bag Nation and The Fan. How about I chat D&M Leasing with you, though? You've heard me talking about D&M for over a decade here on 105.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Three the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll hit a sports hodgepodge here in just a second. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Fred and Blake are in there throwing heat, getting set for the get right. I see James Tritely is in there as well. He must be the producer this evening. So the get right coming up 7 to 11. Rangers have the night off. They'll visit the White Sox in the first of three tomorrow. Day baseball on Thursday, by the way. That's going to be a 1:10 first pitch, but the next two nights is going to be your 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first pitch. Clarence Hill has a story up on his new media outlet, and you can go read that in its entirety. It's basically Jerry Jones, you know, making his case for being the man, saying he does a great job. And he said, the reason I don't let somebody else be the GM is because I don't have anybody that I will let do it to actually do it right. So kind of a word salad in there. What's that mean to you? To me, what this means is there's nobody else that'll do things to maximize the value and the attention of this team instead of going for the Super Bowl chances. I do believe Jerry Jones thinks that one of the most important things about the way that he does the job is the way that he talks about things in order to create the maximum news, cycle attention on it than necessarily to bring this team closer to winning. I think he believes in his mind the reason that he was able to grow this NFL from, you know, maybe being the second or third most popular sport to the undisputed king, and the Cowboys worth more than Real Madrid and Barcelona and Manchester United and Bayern Munich and all those other massive global brands, is because the way that he steers the team through its ups and downs in a way to maximize the attention and the ratings. And I think it troubles him. It would worry him to put the team into a situation like the rest of the league has, or a lot of the league has, where the GM is only worried about trying to create a champion. Because if that happens, then not only do the Cowboys potentially lose their spot, but I think he looks at it like the Cowboys are a big part of the NFL's success because of how polarizing they are. You either love the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys. And so, you know, I don't see Jerry Jones, you know, willingly ever letting control of this go. Now, well into his 80s, you know, as long as his faculties are there and it is somewhat credible, I think this goes on maybe another 10, maybe as many as another 15 years or so. What's your guys' read on why he said what he said today?
Well, I just think he being the owner and the general manager, in his mind, gives him a great advantage. From everything that you read in this article, he feels like the fact that he understands all the ownership side of it, it allows him to help make better decisions as the general manager because he feels like he's got the full picture. And he's got the utmost confidence in himself. So I don't know that he's trying to bring everybody else down around him. He's just super passionate about the idea that he sees the full picture better than anybody could because he is the owner and he is the general manager, and he feels like he's the best one to do it. I don't know how Will McClay responds to something like that, where it's like, I don't have anybody around me that can do it as well as I can. But at the same time, he definitely has no intention of giving up this particular role.
I mean, he's a smart guy. What do you think that is? Just ego? Like, you genuinely think he believes he's the best for the football operation?
I think there's things that he's privy to that other general managers aren't.
As the owner. Right.
The cap situation, the television situation. He's made a lot of these owners billionaires by the negotiations and things that they've done.
He talked about that in that piece too.
Yeah. He feels like, to me, that, you know, we look at, depending on what you think about the Brown family that runs the Bengals, you know, Cincinnati, you know, they've had some success here of late. They weren't very good, but, you know, families have run these teams before. The McCaskies, they haven't had very much success. The Rooneys in Pittsburgh, you know, there's been some families that have run these businesses, have run these teams as businesses. But I think that Jerry's trying to tell you, like, listen, I control a lot of things that happen in this league. I'm at the forefront of, you know, there's things that I'll challenge this commissioner on things, you know, but he's on committees, even being 81, 82 years old. He's on these committees that set policy for the NFL. So in that regard, he could help a Will McClay, who does a good job of getting, you know, getting the players and getting the board prepared and stuff like that. You know, he's that part of he has a huge advantage over any other general manager in the league.
Yeah, and I believe him when he says, like, he does believe what he feels. Like, he says, I've done it all. I have an ordinate amount of confidence that, if anybody can figure out how to get this S done, I can figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
So, and then he to what you said, he talks to the owners like, man, I was here when we weren't just making money hand over fist.
They
were having to make tough decisions all the time about how we're going to do this. He's like, you owners now, you guys have no idea what it's like to come into these meetings and have to really come up with ideas on how we can be profitable here.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want your GM doing that. I don't know why in his mind those two things have to be in the same package. Like, ideally, you want somebody handling the business stuff and somebody handling the football stuff. He has failed to explain to me how he has to be GM of the Cowboys to have the NFL experience all of these other benefits.
I think that he looks at his training when he first came in the league in 1989 and the meetings he had with Al Davis. And maybe Jerry Jones in those meetings got influenced by Al Davis. And Al Davis told him, you don't need a general manager. You can do this. You know, you could say the Raiders were poorly run as well. You know, you could say the Raiders as it's time wore on, the Raiders, you know, they lost their way. You know, but for a long time, they were an elite type of an organization. 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, they had some big time teams. But I think Jerry's influence, or Al Davis's influence on Jerry, convinced him that he doesn't need to have a guy. But he has a guy that can do the heavy lifting for him in Will McClay.
Absolutely.
He's got it's not like he's a general manager without good, you know, when I worked for him, we didn't do a good job for him. We didn't do a good job. And a lot of decisions he made were because of stupid things that we told him. So I think he has a better understanding as a general manager. Now, hey, I need to listen to these people.
Because Jerry was incapable of having a vision on his own, though, is something you should include in that.
I think Jerry learned a lot from Jimmy Johnson. I don't think Jimmy Johnson, if Jimmy and him would have stayed together longer, I think Jerry would have been a better general manager. I might not have ever got to work for the Cowboys if Jimmy would have stayed here and said, hey, Jimmy was having the type of path or the type of career where he cared about personnel like Bill Parcells did. You know, they could have done some really great things together if Jimmy wouldn't have just got tired and wanted to move on.
Yeah. You need somebody that's talented in that role to work.
Jimmy was willing to he liked putting together the team. He liked doing all that. You know, they came down to credit and things like that. And I think that's where Jerry got a little hurt. But I think Jerry's at a point now where, he doesn't want Will McClay. He doesn't need anybody else. But damn believe he leans on Will McClay.
Yeah.
To put these drafts and these boards and, you know, free agency and, you know, the lack of or whatever they do, they've got some guy, Alex Loomis, they've got some guys in that organization that are good. I wouldn't be surprised to see one day Will McClay say, you know what, I'm going to go do my own thing. I think we're closer to that day than we are with Will, you know.
How could you not want to?
And then, okay, now what happens to Steven and Jerry and all that? You know, now all of a sudden, does this team really, do they have somebody that can replace a talented guy like Will McClay?
Well, he says he has great confidence in Charlotte and Steven and Jerry Jr. to get the job done. He was like, quote, if I get hit by a car out here tonight.
Yeah.
So he's not listing anybody else other than his own children.
You can read it all at alldallas.com. I think that's how you say this new media entity here. To me, a lot of these quotes come off as belligerent. And usually when you say that word belligerent, it denotes like alcohol use during the interview. I don't think it's alcohol, though. I think it's ego. And I think the man is drunk on his own power and sees running this football team as his reward for, you know, leveraging the family wealth into buying this football team 35 years ago. And I think it's just as simple as that. He's going to be GM because he wants to. And unfortunately, we have to live with that reality.
He's the owner of that.
Yeah.
And
he's doing a pathetic job.
Well, now you can't say they've done a pathetic job other than the fact that they haven't had playoff success.
That's what the name of sports is, winning big.
Yeah.
And winning, you know,
but they have won. They have won. They just
early
haven't
on.
They haven't won championships of late. I mean, you could they've been in playoffs. I'm just saying, if it's about winning, we aren't the Arizona Cardinals here. We're not the Atlanta.
Might as well be.
We're not the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, Arizona's actually been to a Super Bowl this century. Same with Atlanta.
So is the Falcons. Yeah.
But I'm saying
more
overall,
like Cleveland and Washington.
Cleveland, Washington. Yeah. I mean, we would be crushing the Commanders with Daniel Snyder every day. That was a poorly run organization.
Right.
That's one you crush because they don't have a good roster. They don't have a good coach. You know, they're not winning every week.
Jerry's figured out a way to be this involved without having the team be that bad, because Jerry is brilliant.
They've got good players. I mean, that we all agree CeeDee Lamb's a really good player, right?
Yeah.
Micah Parsons, Tyler Smith, you know, just go down the list. They've got good players.
Yeah.
They just haven't had playoff success. If you want to crush them for that, crush them.
That's what I'm crushing them for. Yeah. Absolutely.
But you're saying they're a poorly run organization.
Yeah, they are. Because the name crush of the game in sports is winning the Super Bowl, not just making the playoffs. If you were intentionally just making the playoffs to maximize your revenue and never giving your team or your fans a chance to actually win the championship.
He just gave a $34 million. How many millions of dollars did he just give a wide receiver?
Right, but that's paying a TV star.
No.
That's paying a TV star to get me TV ratings and to win enough to keep us relevant.
Yes. He just paid the highest.
I could draft good players and pay them.
Challenge you to do that. Get a gig, do it. I challenge you. I mean, if that's the case.
I'll challenge Jerry to let me.
Okay,
you know, but
fine. Go apply. Go walk in there next time you see
Jerry.
Yeah,
but that's a ridiculous idea. Nobody's going to let me do that.
I'm just saying
they got a now hiring button on that website.
Yeah. I'm just saying, though, to me, I understand the lack of playoff success and championship success. There's a lot of NFL. There's a lot of organizations. We said that forever for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, he always talks about looking himself in the mirror. I don't know how you could say that with a straight face after failing to get beyond the divisional round for 30 freaking years.
Sure.
In a league that you intentionally created to have parity. So everybody could win it. Everybody could feel like we got a shot.
He's the one that created it. He created the parity by doing the salary cap.
Yeah.
He believed that everybody has an opportunity. He could have been selfish about this, sure. And he could say, screw you, Buccaneers. Screw you, Green Bay. Screw all you teams that don't have enough money.
Yep.
Screw you, Cincinnati Bengals.
And that's what somebody who actually wants to win more than anything would have done.
I can say, I think he's made the league better.
He has.
He's made the league better. He's made all these guys. These guys and gals were getting an $8 million check from NFL property for their T-shirt sales.
He created the game of salary cap so everybody could have a chance. He invented
this. It's a better game.
And doesn't even know how to win it.
It's a better game.
It is, yeah.
It's a much better game.
And it grew the popularity so everybody could be worth billions and billions
of
dollars.
Absolutely.
So we agree what he really cares about is the money, not winning.
He cared about the league.
He built a league to maximize everybody's income.
He cares about the fact that they have just as good a chance in Cincinnati and Green Bay as they do in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
We follow the NFL because our teams have a chance. Yeah. In baseball, we went forever not thinking our team had a chance.
And now he's sitting around watching the teams that are lucky enough to have a GOAT quarterback get to the Super Bowl, and he's watching teams that manage the salary cap in a very specific way get there, and he's deciding that he wants to do option three. You know, how that's not intentional. A man invented the game, doesn't know how to use the game to be a champion, but he definitely knows how to consistently make the playoffs. If that's not intentional, I don't know what is. I think it's important to have conversations like this and spell it out so the fans know exactly what they're supporting.
Oh, the fans know. They don't need you telling them that. The fans know.
I think a lot of them do.
I think a lot of fans do.
Yeah.
I think everything you're talking about is exactly what the fan base has been. Yeah, they're not fooled anymore. You're not wrong. But I'm just saying, this organization, it does find ways to win. It finds, and they've done a good job of getting players.
Do you think anybody felt satisfied after last year, though, Brian?
No.
Like a winning season, I'm stoked about.
No, it was a terrible situation. They were the second seed, got beat by the seventh seed. Nobody walked out of that stadium feeling good. The owner even said it
so
the other day.
So that's not winning. That's not winning. Winning 12 games and losing in the playoffs is not a winning season, is it?
It's to me, like they win the division, you give yourself an opportunity, you weren't good enough. The players that you sign and think they're good, that a lot of people around the league think are very good, let you down. You know, he let himself down. I mean, like I say, if you're going to these players, if you're going to pay him and all that, and you identify the your best players and they let you down, is that him or is that the players? Is it the coach? Who's letting him down?
I think the one common thing.
As an organization, they're getting let down.
From the mid-90s to now, there's only a couple of people in common, and they both got the last name Jones. You know, a lot of quarterbacks.
I tell you what, I'm just grateful I'm not working or not covering the Arizona Cardinals or people like that. I'm just grateful. You know, I'm just, to me, Atlanta Falcons, I'm just grateful. I get it. They were in a Super Bowl here recently. I get it. But there's every year, it's the same crap. Same crap.
Yeah, I mean, I love the environment that Jerry has created to cover.
This thing goes 4-13.
Yeah, a couple of 3-4 years in a row. That would be real apathy.
Yeah.
And Jerry will make sure that never happens.
Here I am arguing about winning. I think fans don't give a damn.
They don't care about winning?
No, they don't care. They care about the winning. They want to win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They want to do those things.
Hey, just get to a conference championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that I think would at least, you know, give fans some faith that maybe it's possible again. Yeah. We got to step aside to get right with Fred and Blake coming up next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation of the Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it is time now to get set for the get right. Tonight's configuration, you have Blake, and you have Fred, and you have James Tritely producing.
That's it.
So we got 4 hours of sports content to go here on this live and local excursion. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
I feel amazing. Every time I get to speak with you guys, it just brightens my day. Seeing your beautiful faces in here. Get
to and talk to beautiful
Shut solos. Up, Blake. Such right. a jackass.
All right. See these icebreakers? I'm going to throw them at your forehead.
Ooh, that'd be a fun payoff.
Just skip right off the top right
the
there.
The icebreaker payoff. We throw it on the board. We get to frisbee that thing right into your dome. We each get 2 chances. I think that's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good call, Blake.
If it sticks, do we get bonus points?
Blake it or leave it?
Wait, I'm Blaking. We have that coming up now, don't we? With the season starting?
We haven't gotten HR's approval this year. We have crossed the line one too many times, perhaps. So I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see on if Odyssey's going to grant us that.
To what? Throw stuff at people's heads?
No.
Just our general survivor pool.
The survivor
payoffs
pool.
Throughout the football season. We've gotten called to the principal's office like 4 times now. The electrocutions. The bleeding, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Sparky.
Yeah.
Every week we pick a game, and if you're wrong, you have to pay off with a bet. A bet payoff.
Let's do a taser this year.
Involving embarrassment, pain.
Yeah, I had to get really drunk at a Rangers championship parade.
The
spring training. I had to pay that off.
Dawson was mad
in the crowd, and we couldn't get the microphone to work. I was interviewing people. It might not even been on.
Dawson ate a raw ribeye on the air.
Ooh,
that was tough.
How'd that go?
Tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Did you eat the whole thing?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
10, 12, 16 ounce?
It was a 16-ouncer. I had to freeze it. And I get, it was tough,
really?
Dude. That might be the hardest bet payoff I've ever done. I got a haircut like Broadus one year.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun with the sides flowing,
cul-de-sac,
got it dyed and everything.
Hair Island,
that was a lot of fun. You want to play along this year?
I absolutely want to be a part of this year.
Okay.
Sign me up. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was a cop reporter once upon a time, I volunteered to get tased.
Oh, geez.
Because I wanted to, you know, I mean, let's
you wanted to see what it felt like.
I wanted to see what it felt. And of course, I didn't sign a waiver or anything like that. I mean, I don't know that I was actually supposed to do it, but I was friends with the Port Arthur Police Department and. Homeboy zapped me right there in the office.
I would have pleasure for you.
I don't know. Would you rather get attacked?
It's a kink of yours now.
Was it the one that shot like, the
please,
prongs?
Please, no. Let me do that. Let me get in the survivor.
There's no
dude.
Way in
Taze
hell I'm
hell
doing that. Is okay? Getting attacked by one of their dogs or like getting tased?
I'll take the dog because you get a costume. You get an outfit.
No costume.
No costume. You mean to legit just get bit by a dog?
Yeah, the dog gets to kind of jump on you.
I'll take the taser.
Am I allowed to punch back on the dog or do I just have to take it?
You have to fight. Yeah, you have to fight back. The dog gets to jump you for 10 seconds.
No, I'll take the taser.
Well, they're starting to use those smaller ones, not the German Shepherds with the powerful bite. They're using the smaller, was it a Belgium?
Yeah.
They jump better, they're smarter, but they're not as scary. I think I could body slam one of those. Yeah.
Okay,
I'll take that.
You would take the dog over
I'll
the
take
taste?
The dog on. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's an as long as it's one of
the smaller ones. I saw Bassick. Bassick had the suit on, and he was running, and then like he slung the dog around like he was a kid. Yeah. Like the dog was hooked to the arm, and Bassick went in a like.
I think
like
we were in Grand Prairie
to try and throw the dog.
Maybe the Arlington Fire Department. Yeah, he wasn't playing along.
Bassick's kind of like they're like, no, stop, stop.
Yeah. We're gonna do a demonstration.
The dog's hanging on by its teeth. It's like flying, you know, in the air.
He had him on a merry-go-round.
he did.
Took it too far.
What do you guys think of the CeeDee Lamb contract? Is it fair?
There's no big. Absolutely. Big I mean, you know, it's 1A, 1B as far as best receiver in the NFL. I mean, and of course, you know, CA and I were talking about this yesterday. Doesn't it kind of feel, because it happened so quickly after preseason was over, like there was almost kind of like a wink and a nod agreement? Like, hey, look.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not going to necessarily be in training camp because he never got. I mean, if we look at like the passive aggressive tweets that really weren't all that passive aggressive. I mean, what did he say? Didn't he say LOL at one point?
Yeah.
To what
Jerry said.
Jerry said he didn't need him. You know,
they really got serious talking Saturday at the end of the preseason. We're getting ready to head home. I think there was kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We'll get to this then. And I think the same deal with Linval Joseph. Like, we'll give Mazi Smith all of the Oxnard time. And as soon as the final padded practice was over and it was clear he hadn't improved enough, we got the
Linval Joseph. Well, and think about it this way, too. If you're Jerry Jones, we know Jerry's a masochist in the sense that he, you know, no press is bad press or no bad press is good press or whatever the hell I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
you guys get what you're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
Isn't it a lot better to be talking about a deal that we all agree was going to get done and we all agree on the parameters and the numbers when it comes to CD? Whereas with Dak, there is no happy medium with that. We really don't know because there's a large contingent of the fan base
that doesn't
want to see him.
Yeah.
And let's call it what it is. Him getting $70 million would make people's head explode.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced Jerry's ready to do that either.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about that one because I don't think there is a deal low enough for Dak that he would realistically agree to that would give you enough of an edge with a team to now build a championship team around it. If you want to get there with Dak, you got to like use a credit card and you know do some cap tricks and put way more good players on the roster than the cap should hold. And I don't think the team's willing to do that. So I'm kind of with the fans that like, hey, I would rather just watch Dak leave and reset the quarterback time. Here, let's get a guy in a rookie deal and, you know, maybe take another shot at having a GOAT that could actually carry you through a playoffs.
Mac Jones.
When you have a flawed roster. Yeah.
Mac Jones. I'm calling it right now. Mac Jones, your Cowboys quarterback next year.
I don't think there's anybody.
There you go.
I don't think there's anyone that was happier after that preseason performances than Dak Prescott. Because now he already had all the leverage, but seeing Trey Lance throw five interceptions, have two the other game, just not live up to the billing of really even quarterback two.
You think he was quietly like Tiger fist pumping himself after every one of those five interceptions?
Because if Trey Lance went out and balled out and had four touchdowns every game, no interceptions, then it's like, all right, Dak might be like, okay, make me the highest paid quarterback. I don't need that extra on top. Let's call it a deal and make it coming. Now, Dak has all the leverage because they know at the end of the season, what are you going to play? Trey Lance?
Yeah.
Cooper Rush? You're probably not going to do that.
No, it's going to be Mac Jones.
It's going to be Mac Jones.
Hey, speaking of disappointment, thanks for not showing up at the game. I brought you the pizza burger. I brought you the pizza burger. Yeah, you were nowhere to be found up there.
I was
Friday night got too out of hand.
No.
Saturday afternoon.
I had to pick up my father at the airport.
Okay.
Well, that's
someone's got to do that.
All right.
There you go. That's
I'm
fair.
Kind of the only person that can do that here. And part two, you know, I just thought I would let, was Alec there? Mr. Medford?
I didn't see him.
I was told he was going to be there.
Punting on the preseason.
Yeah, but I did.
It was more New York strip for me.
Yeah, the pizza burger was there. I got. Yeah. I was walking it out of the press box, out of the Brad Sham booth to you because I'm like, oh, Blake will eat this.
Yeah.
Blake, this it was way too big.
Well,
by the way.
I'll let you know on my schedule. I already have it marked down for. Yeah. Those Cowboys games. I'll be there right next to
you. No, sure you will.
We'll get snuggly.
Unless his dad decides to fly in. Yeah. Then you're screwed.
Exactly.
Blake's too big for the preseason.
It's like, hey, you know, we're going to get your credential, Blake. Don't worry about that. But, hey, do what you have to do.
Blake's like, dude, I covered the NBA finals. You got me showing up to a preseason game.
Yeah.
First year on the radio is big time in y'all.
Yeah, I know. My man's asking questions. Kyrie. Blake Hill here, 105.
Kai,
Blake, 105.3 The Fan. And he kind of gets the acknowledgement. It's like, watch this.
Yeah, Kai knows me, guys. Not saying whatever, not doing whatever
we got to get our credentials by the 30th, by the way.
Hey, something to timestamp here before we go.
What happened?
What do you have the timestamp before?
Anything?
We got our boy Mark Domenech, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers GM, coming on. Yeah. Talk all things, behind the scenes and kind of his thoughts on this Cowboys team for 2024.
I love it. Yes, sir. Heavy hitters coming in. Here we go. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup there at Master Control. 5 hours. Flawless radio producing, engineering, and hosting. Thanks to Carter Freeman. Thanks to Chia Follow. Send Wolchuk some love on social. Thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation. Salute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.